Friday, the 14th of November, Chesh Zion Mal Cheshbon, Rabbi Daniel Klein, being from Onyenes Cheshbon.
Good morning. I noticed that Sunday marks the third year anniversary of Tiraway, and hence I am the last speaker of the current year. I actually had a topic as to why I was chosen to be the last speaker. Chazal say that the reason why we always name Parshas Kisavei before Rosh Hashanah is that Kisavei contains the Kralot. So get the Kralot out in the last year and let's have the new year clean and fresh. Or I thought Achen Achen Chaviv, maybe that's the... I'll go with the second option. So if we start with last week's Parsha. In last week's Parsha you have it in box number 2. Avram rescues Lot from the king. The four kings had captured Lot, and Avraham Avinu ran to get them. And he comes back with Lot, and the king of Sodom says to him, "You can have all the money you want. Just give me the people and you keep the money." And Avraham famously responded, "Imechut vav tzrich now," that I don't want to take neither a thread nor a shoelace, nothing I want. Why, says the Pasuk? But Lot toma ani hasharti es Avraham. In order that you should not say that you made me rich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised that he will make me rich, v'avarechecha, and I want everyone to realize when I become wealthy that it wasn't because of man, it was directly given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi said at the end of next week's parasha, in next week's parasha it says that Avraham married someone called Keturah, and Chazal said that was Hagar, and they had children. And the Pasuk says, in Perkei Pasuk Vav, again you have it, v'livnei ha-pilag shemashela Avraham, noten Avraham matonis. Avraham gave these people gifts. The Pasuk says he gave everything he had to Yitzchak, but to these children he gave gifts. Says Rashi, what gift did he give them? Says Rashi, mash and nitin loy al oidos Sarah. Any money that had been given him had been given to him because of Sarah. Sarah was captured by Paro and Abimelech. All that money, that free money he'd been given, he gave away. The shamatonish nosin loy. Everything he gave shalei rotzelei honetim. And Avraham had no desire to benefit, to take money from other people, as we see by Sodom as well. The kasha is, if we go back again to last week's parasha, the Pasuk says that Avraham was, they were in Mitzrayim, Paro gave them a tremendous amount of money, says the Pasuk, and Avraham now went back, the famine's finished in Eretz Canaan, he went back to Eretz Canaan, Vayelech Lemasov, he went back to his journeys. Says Rashi, Vayelech Lemasov, indicates that he's already been on this journey. Where has he been? Says Rashi, yeah, he went back to stay at exactly the same hotels where he'd been on his way down to Eretz Canaan, he went to stay at the same hotels on his way back. Says Rashi, why? Says Rashi, because now that he had newfound wealth, the Chazarosei Pora HaKafosov, he paid back his debt. On his way down to Eretz Mitzrayim, he had no money, so wherever he stayed, he had to write an IOU. On his way back, with his newfound wealth, he paid off his debt. The Chazarosei, that Rashi, it seemed to be against what we just saw. Avraham said specifically to Melech Sodom, I'm not going to take any money. I don't want anyone to suggest that they made me wealthy. Avraham took all the money he had and he gave it to the Pnei Pilakshim. He doesn't want any money. And suddenly he paid back his debts with the money he got from Paris. The Chayyid of Paris is posh. Avraham Avinu owes someone money. On Yenis Cheshbon, this man is owed money. On Yenis Cheshbon, on the person who owes, the hotel owner who he owes money, Avraham can't say, I'm a Machmir. I'm not the one people to say, Ani Asharatius Avraham. You've got money, Avraham. You have to pay back. If you owe money, you can't turn around and say, I'm not going to pay you back because I've got a Chumrah. I don't want to benefit from the money. If you owe him money, you have to pay him back. The other monies that Avraham didn't have to take, Avraham wasn't going to take it off. Yenis Cheshbon, for sure, Avraham was going to pay back the money. The same raya, another raya for the same yisod we see again in last week's parasha, and slowly we'll progress to this week's parasha. Sarah says to Avraham, you have to marry Hagar. I'm not having any children. Why don't you go and marry Hagar? And the Pasuk says, Vayishma Avram lekol Sarai. Avram listened to what Sarai suggested and he went and married Hagar. And the Pasuk stressed, you know when this was? When did this whole event happen that Sarai convinced Avram to marry Hagar? Mikates Esa Shonim Neshevas Avram Be'eretz Canaan. They've been living in Eretz Canaan for 10 years. And then Sarai said to Avram, go and marry Hagar. Says Rashi, or the Gemara in Yevamah says, why did the Torah have to stress to us when it was? They've been living in Eretz Canaan for 10 years, and then Sarah said. Says Rashi, Mekan, from here we learn that a man is mitzvah to have children. And if after 10 years he hasn't been able to have children, he has to go and marry a different wife. We're not knowing like that nowadays. But the halacha, the Gemara in Yevamah makes the halacha from Avraham Avinu, that after 10 years being married, one has to go and marry another wife. If the halacha is that after 10 years one has to go and marry another wife, why did Avram wait for Sarai to tell him? Sarai comes with a suggestion. I can't have kids. You go marry Hagar. And Avram says, okay, you suggested, I'll do it. If the halacha is that after 10 years he has to marry, why does he have to wait for Sarai? The same teretz. Avram Avinu may have kept the whole teretz. We all know Chazal say he kept the whole teretz, but he didn't have to. It was a chumrah. Kiyam Avram Avinu the whole teretz before it was given. He didn't have to keep the teretz. On Yenis Cheshbon, on Sarah's Cheshbon, to go and get married to someone else, who obviously the prophet Tilly states that having married Hagar, Sarah got very upset. But on getting married, on Yenis Cheshbon, to get married to Hagar, Avram wasn't going to do it by himself. If Sarah suggests him to get married to Hagar, then he'll get married to Hagar. But of Yenis Cheshbon, he's not going to bring his chumrah. At the beginning of this week's parasha, the prophet says, Vayera Elov Hashem Ve'elone Mamre, that the story of the Malachim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avram while he was Be'elone Mamre in a field in the plains belonging to a Kanani called Mamre. And Rashi immediately, straight to the beginning of the parasha, asked, why is the Torah telling us where it was? We already know, in last week's parasha, we already know that where Avram was living. The Torah seems to be stressing to us that it happened in Mamre's portion. Says Rashi, this is the top box, Be'elone Mamre, Hu Shenosen Lo'eitza Al Amidah. Mamre gave Avram advice about Bris Milah. And all the Mepharshim asked Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just going to tell Avram to do Bris Milah. He went and asked Mamre advice. No Mamre, yeah, no, Shabbat Shintan. That doesn't make sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it, he's going to do it. What does he mean? Hu Shenosen Lo'eitza Al Amidah. So I heard once from Rabbi Bernstein, Tachon Levacha, he said, B'shem the Maskil L'David. Maskil L'David is something called the David Pardo. He wrote a Pirush on Rashi. It's not found on the actual Pasuk, it's found in a drasha that he said. A beautiful, very simple idea why Avraham Avinu went to ask advice to Mamre. The Pasuk says, when the Pasuk describes in last week's parasha where Avraham lived, it says that he was living in the field of Mamre, who was the brother of Onar and Eshkol, and they were the Baalei Bris Avraham. Baalei Bris Avraham, they had made a pact with Avraham. What pact had they made? What do you mean making a pact? If I'm in trouble, you help me. If you're in trouble, I'll help you. And in fact, the prophet says, when Avraham Avinu ran after the four kings, so who looked after his things to make sure no one took them while he was away? Onar, Eshkol, and Mamre, they looked after. There was a pact. When one is in trouble, the other one will help out. Says Avraham Avinu, when it comes, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me the mitzvah of Bris Milah, I'm going to be out. I'm out of action for a few days. I can't just decide when to go ahead and do it. I'm going to be out of action. That's not fair to Onar, Eshkol, and Mamre. I can't not do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it. But if they're the Baalei Bris Avraham, I have to ask them, no, when's a good time for you? When is it better that I should be out of action for a few days to come and help you? That was the advice he asked Onar, Eshkol, and Mamre. And Mamre said to him, God said, do it straight away. You do it straight away. That's the advice that Mamre gave. Of course, potentially, we might want to push it off. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to you to do it, you do it. So the Pasuk, Hu Shenosen Lo'eitza Al Amidah. Mamre's advice was to do it. Do it now. What would effectively be difficult on this pshat is that the Maharit makes a diyuk in the Rambam. The Rambam itself is a chiddush. You have the Rambam, it's in Hilchos Ishus Per Tesvav Halacha Beis. The Rambam says as follows, Ha'ish mitzuvah al piri v'rivya avaloi ha'isha. A man is commanded to have children, not a woman. U'me'emesai ha'ish nischai v'mitzvah zu. This is all for shidduchim. From when is a man mechoyev to start fulfilling this mitzvah? Says the Rambam, min ben shvasrei, from when a man is 17 years old, he is mechuyev to start doing the mitzvah. The kivin sha'obru esrim shana v'leinosa isha, when he reaches the age of 20 and hasn't yet married, harei ze oiva u'mevatel mitzvah saseh. If a man is 20 and hasn't yet got married, says the Rambam, you have been mevatel, bittel your mitzvah saseh, gets it, it's gone. And the Maharit asks, it's obvious it hasn't gone, you can get married at 21, you've delayed it. Seems from the Rambam that delaying a mitzvah is not just, you know, I'll push it off for a day. It's, the Rambam seems to call it a bittul mitzvah saseh. There is a very big inyan not to delay a mitzvah. If that was to be true, besides the rules of zrizim makdim in the mitzvahs, we know we should have to hurry up to do things, the question would come back, how can Avraham Avinu go and ask Onar, Eshkol, and Mamre? No, when do you want me to do it? Say, next week, in 2 months. I've got to do it, but when? You've got to do it straight away. It's certainly better to do it straight away. The Teret is exactly the same. Of Yenus Cheshbon, Onar Eshkol and Mamre, that to do it straight away is a nice thing. It's a hiddur, it's better to do it straight away. But of Yenus Cheshbon, Onar Eshkol and Mamre's Cheshbon, if for them it's better to do it in 2 weeks' time, then to make the hiddur of doing it straight away, Avram's not going to do that on Yenus Cheshbon. Of Yenus Cheshbon, you know, you don't become a Baal Machmir. You act with him correctly. The Rabbi Shaul Salanter used to have a very famous line that somebody else's gashmius is your ruchnius. Right, to look after somebody else's gashmius, for him that's gashmius, for you that's your ruchnius. To be from a yanis cheshvan is not recommended. The Gemara in Nida on Das Panach Aleph Amud Aleph proves to the extent that one mustn't be from on someone else's cheshvan. The Gemara says that the Amoraim one day discovered a pit full of bones. So they wanted to know, what are these bones that are here? So the Gemara says, these are the bones that were thrown into a pit by Yishmael, not the Yishmael of the Torah. There was somebody called Yishmael ben Nesanya, and he killed Gedaliah. That same Gedaliah, the governor who was appointed after Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Chorban. These are the bones of Gedaliah and all his friends who were killed on the second day of Rosh Hashanah when Yishmael ben Nesanya came and killed them. And so what does the Pasuk say, says the Gemara? The Pasuk says, it's in the box, this is the pit. The Pasuk says there was a pit where Yishmael threw es kol pigrei ha'anoshim, all the corpses, asher hikka biyad Gedaliah, which Gedaliah killed. Yishmael threw into the pit the corpses that Gedaliah killed. Ask the Gemara, v'chi Gedaliah horgon? Gedaliah never killed these people. Gedaliah was killed. He's one of the bones. V'alo Yishmael horgon? Yishmael killed them. So the Gemara will say it out. So the Gemara, well, if you look in Yirmiyah, Gedaliah was warned about what was going to happen. Somebody in Yechonon ben Korach came and told Gedaliah, you know, Yishmael's out to get you. He believes that he should be in charge. He believes he should be the governor, and he's very upset that you've been put in charge. Take care, precaution, watch out for what might happen. And Gedaliah said, Lashon Hara, I'm not Makabel, I don't believe. Chas v'shalom, nobody would do such a thing. And what happened? Along came Yishmael and killed him, and killed not only him, killed lots of people. Says the Gemara, the halacha of Lashon Hara is, you're not allowed to believe it. But you certainly have to take precautions. If somebody tells you something, you mustn't assume it to be true. You have to investigate. But you have to worry about it. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. Take precautions. Says the Gemara, Gedaliah, you didn't take precautions. You were about Machmir. You decided Lashon Hara, you killed them. An indictment from the Pasuk. Gedaliah, says the Gemara, you killed them because it's your fault. You didn't really kill them, but if you were Machmir on Lashon Hara when it was again to somebody else, that's considered that you killed them. Again, again showing the severity of being Machmir of Yenis Cheshbon. This year I had a question. I had a question on the Yesod of being Machmir from Rashi in this week's parasha. The Malachim come to Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu wants to serve him up a sumptuous three-course meal. And it says that El HaBokarot Avraham, Avraham ran to the Bokar, but he didn't do it himself, says the Pasuk. Vayiting El HaNar, he gave it to the Nar. He took the cows, Rashi took three cows, not an easy job, shechting three cows, preparing three, Rashi said he prepared three tongues with mustard. Right, preparing three cows is a heavy job, and he gave it to the Nar. Says Rashi, who is this Nar? Who's this lad? Says Rashi, Zeh Yishmael L'chamcha B'mitzvus. Avraham gave the preparation to Yishmael for chinuch. Now, I don't understand. We're talking about the third day after this meal. Bishlem Avraham Avinu, who Chazal say was bandaging himself up, he's terribly ill. But he wants to go and do the mitzvah of Achnasas Arachim. So if he wants to be machmir on himself, he's going to serve these people guests, he's going to get up, it's terribly hot. He's 3 days after his mitzvah, he's going to be machmir and do Achnasas Arachim. Fine, if he wants to be machmir and do mitzvahs when he doesn't have to do mitzvahs because he's desperate to do it, that's fine. But Yishmael has to have his Vismila. This is the third day of Yishmael's Vismila as well. How can Avraham insist and push Yishmael to do a mitzvah? It's his chumrah. He's for sure potter from Achnasas Arachim in his situation. He's desperate to do it. But to make Yishmael do it, how can Avraham insist Yishmael does it? That's being machmir of Yenis Cheshbon. I think the question is a toss. How gufa is mitzvah schinach? Mitzvah schinach is not that only when times are easy we do things. Mitzvah chinuch is to train children that even when times are difficult, we still do the mitzvahs that we should be doing. On Yishmael, there's no question to be asked, oh, how could Avraham be machmir on Yishmael's cheshbon? He has a mitzvah of chinuch, says Rashi. He has to teach him that even when times are difficult, we still are machmir. On Sarah's cheshbon, on the shop, on the innkeeper's cheshbon, on those type people, Gedaliah has no right to be machmir on people he doesn't, on his friends, to let them be killed. And to not pay back your debts, Avraham has no right to be machmir. But on Yishmael's cheshbon, where he has a mitzvah of chinuch, that Avraham is fully entitled to try and be machanach and what to do. The shayla of being machmir on someone's cheshbon, which we've so far stuck to psukim, is of course a very negeya shayla in terms of kashrus. What must somebody how must, what must people put of their own chumras on somebody else? And it's a very sensitive issue, so exactly to express ideas is a bit sensitive, and a rav should always be consulted, I'm sure. But one thing I can do is that there's a fantastic tshuva in some sefer. Some sefer in Yerodea Siman Kuf Mem Tes. It's a fantastic table conversation for adults. But the shayla he was asked was as follows. A woman found a reddish stain on her clothes, and she was not sure whether or not she was a nidah. Is it a kesem, is it not? So she went to ask the Rav, and the Rav took a close look at the stain, and he said, I see the problems, I see what your question is, but no, it's no problem. You're mutter, you're not a nidah, I pass this. The woman goes home all elated, and she tells her husband, and the husband has meanwhile learned a bit of Masechet Nidah and Halachas Nidah, and he says, no, I know what the Rav said, I want to be machmer. Yeah, it's a shayla, I want to be machmer, I don't want to take it off. The Chasam Sofer was sent the shayla that the woman complained, this is not the man I married. When I got married to this man, every husband who gets married, every wife, every couple that gets married, they make certain commitments to each other. And one of them is a commitment to Tashmish, that there are certain times that they will do Tashmish. And the woman says, when we got married, my husband was not this big Baal Machmir who would start deciding that he doesn't want to keep what the Rabbonim say. If the Rav said it's mutter. And he made it's a real commitment, it's equivalent to a monetary commitment. He was meshabed himself to do something. He is not allowed to back out of that now. And the Chasam Sofer was sent to Shaila, is the husband allowed to be Machmir over and above the Rav at his wife's expense? The Chasam Sofer brought a Gemara in Ksuvus. The Gemara in Ksuvus says as follows. The Gemara in Ksuvus says that if, when a husband gets married, let's say in those days, especially nowadays, it's not as Nogel, it still is. Let's say a person's job was a town job. In other words, their job involved going to the city, in the city they live. Says the Gemara, a husband is not allowed to change to start working out of town, because then he's away from his wife for longer. And when they got married, his wife certainly thought that her husband would be home every night. He's not allowed to suddenly, without getting permission from his wife, to change his job and be away from home more often. Similarly, says the Gemara, if his job was, let's say, to be a camel driver, so he'd be away for 3 months, he's not allowed to change to become a sailor, where he would be away for 6 months. You have to keep within what you committed, whatever was assumed when you got married. Says the Gemara, but what happens if the husband decided that he wants to now go and learn Torah and Yeshiva? He's going to go far away? What's his din? Says the Gemara that if he decides to go away learn yeshiva, then he's allowed to go without asking permission from his wife. Says the Chasam Sofer, I don't get it. What's the difference? If it's a shidduch, either the wife agreed to it when she got married or she didn't agree to it when she got married. What's the difference between going to learn? It's not just done like a firm thing. You know, going to learn, everything's mutter. What's the difference? Why is going to learn yeshiva any better than going to change your business? Says the Chasam Sofer, every woman secretly, and maybe some more secretly than others, they desire their husband to be a Talmud Chacham. And we can assume that when she got married, she for sure would have wanted her husband to be a Talmud Chacham. And if she now screams, there's no way I want to let you go to yeshiva, we think that she has changed. The Stoma de Milsa, the assumption is that when they got married, she was for sure willing to do it. The assumption is that over the course of marriage, if she now decides that she doesn't want her husband to go, that wasn't what she committed to. When she committed, she for sure would have agreed. It's now that she has changed. She's reneging on her contract. Therefore, he's allowed to go. That's what the Gemara says, he's allowed to go. And that's the Chasam Sofer's interpretation, because she has changed, not he has changed. Says the Chasam Sofer, this is... Chasam Sofer, you can... It's made for any table, especially with your wife. But Chasam Sofer says, any husband, any woman who gets married to a regular person, she for sure would be wanting and might even expect her husband one day to become a tzaddik. She wants him to grow and to become and start doing things that he wasn't doing at the time of marriage. Says the Chasam Sofer, and one concept of becoming more of a tzaddik is to start being machmir. And not everything is mutter. Just because the Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter doesn't mean everything's mutter. Says the Chasam Sofer, for sure a woman would want their husband to start being machmir on themselves. In which case, this woman who suddenly screams that he has decided it's not fair, this isn't the man I married, it's not true, this is the man you married, you have changed, says the Chasam Sofer. If he wants to be machmir, you for sure would have wanted such a thing when you got married. He's got the Gemara in Ksuvos. that you are the one who have changed, and therefore you are halachically allowed, you are halachically allowed to back out and assume that she's a nidda. The Chasam Sofer does not get involved. The Chasam Sofer is involved in a halacha. In other words, is he allowed to do it because he is reneging on his commitment that he made at marriage? He's not getting involved in the shaila of, he's not saying for marriage counselling whether it's a good thing this man should do or it's a bad thing what the man should do. He's just saying, the halacha, could he do it? He's not discussing if he's being machmer. Might be the man being machmer on his wife's cheshbon. Is that, should he do it or shouldn't he? He's involved in halacha. The fact that he doesn't discuss the issue of being machmer on someone else's cheshbon would seem to indicate that this is different to the case of Avraham Avinu, for example. Avraham Avinu made up his own thing. He doesn't want people to say he made wealthy, that they made him wealthy. Whereas this man over here, it's a shayla, you know, a shayla hilchos nida, it's a real halacha, which he wants to be machmer on. So maybe one could make a difference between the distinction between the two. Anyway, I don't want to get involved in more halachah l'maaseh shailas. That's certainly enough for one day. Can the wife say, of course it's neged to any chumrah that the husband would want to take on, or a wife? It works both ways. If the wife wants to take on a chumrah, then they would be able to suggest that that's not the woman or the man I married. Chasam Sofer said it's okay if it's the halacha.
If the wife takes it on, he can be first.
Are you saying that you're saying the husband has the right over his? It depends on the chumrah that he takes on, only in certain
issues.
If the wife, the question is, the wife may not be able to veto the husband, but can the husband ever veto his wife?
Veto
her from it, because he, as it were, is more in control of the house. Don't say it, but maybe the husband is more in control, but mustn't say it.